Welcome to all of you to the Vortex of Submission on NBC Academy. This is Jim Manske along with Jory. I feel excited to be sharing this material for actually the very first time in a telephone-based class. Jory, would you like to do a brief check-in? Say how you are?
I'm actually still a bit amused. I'm just chuckling here to the welcome to the Vortex of Submission. I guess I really don't need to welcome you to that. I think many of us have experienced that sufficiently enough that we're going to spend 18 hours now working with it. I want to invite you actually into getting off the vortex of submission. That's my hope for this class, that more and more each of us will wake up and when we find ourselves going what I call down the rabbit hole into that place of sort of robotically doing what we have to do as opposed to really experiencing the aliveness in ourselves and the choicefulness that we have. And so I am excited to dance in this dance of liberation with you. Welcome to the class.
Yeah, we're going to have hopefully a really enlightening time together and have a lot of fun. Those are some of my wishes. I also have a wish that at the conclusion of each class that you will walk away from the class with a pocket full of nuggets, and that these nuggets will provide you with more awareness of what's going on in your own life and more awareness of what's going on in your own heart. And from that awareness that you cultivate more choice, and that those choices will lead to greater fulfillment, and that that fulfillment will lead to greater well-being for you and everybody that you love and everybody that loves you. Those are some of my wishes.
I'd like to move into a self-connection exercise. So, self-connection is a really important part of this work. This work in particular around submission, because most of our submission is unconscious. And so, my expectation is that we will have a self-connection exercise in the beginning of each class, so that each of us can really anchor into our own experience. The purpose of the exercise is not to be led somewhere other than to your inner experience and to notice what goes on for you and give you an opportunity to make your own choices. So if I say, for example, close your eyes, and you don't want to, I don't know if you do or not. If you have a sense that it's better for you to keep your eyes open for some reason, I actually trust that more than you doing what I'm suggesting. I'm just making offerings here of some things that might support your being grounded and self-connected in the class. I find that it's more fulfilling for me to be grounded. It's also more fulfilling to be with people who are grounded. And I imagine it might be the same for you. I'm not sure. Okay, so I can see I need to be grounded. One of the ways I really like to be grounded and I invite you into is just to take a few really conscious breaths. Not to change them, but just to notice. An inhale and an exhale. Do that a couple, three times. Do that two or three times. And then notice where you feel gravity in terms of where you're touching either the floor or the chair or whatever is beneath you. Just notice what that pressure feels like on your bottom, on your back, on your feet, whatever that is. You might notice in your body some discomfort in that. You may want to wiggle a little and bring yourself into comfort. Just noticing how it feels and that you have choice to shift that. And then notice if there's anything in your body, any place in your body that's calling to you right now for attention. Anything that wants to be shifted. And now put your attention into the core of your body, and what I mean is the trunk of your body, around your belly and your chest. And just notice any physical sensations there. Any kind of tightness or looseness, movement or stillness. Just notice. And as you notice the next physical sensation in your trunk of your body, notice if there's any feeling, emotion associated with that. Are you enjoying the feeling? Is there some resistance to that feeling? Happy, sad, annoyed, anything. Just notice if any idea or thought comes up around what's important to you on this call. What is it you would like? What are your wishes? And consider, there are several of us on the call, or we're part of a community that's building here, and each of us has had our own unique experience as we connected. Each of us has our own projection of what our hopes or wishes are for the call. And we'll do a round right now. Give everybody an opportunity to speak to what needs are you hoping to meet in this class? What are your hopes? What are your wishes? And just do a round.
My intention has to do with primarily the relationship between my husband and myself, that it benefits from what I learn and practice here. My husband and I really love each other. We have a ongoing, growing relationship that just brings me so much joy, and I just want to keep deepening my capacity for presence. I see that when our stress levels go up, I wish for more capacity for myself to be present and not, I love your words, Joy, go down the rabbit hole. You know, what are the alternatives to going down the rabbit hole? So I'm pretty jazzed about being here and what I'll learn and what I'll deepen into.
Thank you.
I'm here also primarily because of wanting some help in my relationship with my partner. I've been together for 11 years and we have a whole lot of love and commitment to each other, but the struggle in our dynamic, I think, really worn us both out. 11 years is a long time to be wrestling with someone that you care so much about and so deeply for. So I got the notice about the class, and it seemed like almost exactly the place that we have sort of come to and are not entirely sure that we can overcome. So find ourselves deep in this vortex and would love some help figuring out how to navigate ourselves through it.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to actually working with you and everybody in terms of relationships, finding a way to make them more satisfying and balanced. Thank you.
I have been looking forward to this course, especially again, my relationship with my husband. I have children still at home that I feel like we are guiding, that the world of NVC offers so much for us to help them not fall into the same pitfalls and traps and patterns that we learned. I feel like I'm just beginning my journey into learning, and it already has opened my eyes so much just to how to communicate with not just my husband, but with everyone, with my coworkers and my children, everyone that comes into my world. I'm interested in the vortex of submission because so much of what we do seems to be an unconscious spiral downward, and I want to be able to learn to stop it, to recognize it, and move forward.
Thank you.
I have been noticing how the power imbalance inside of me projects out onto the world, and how I create a lot of suffering for myself, and fear suffering for other people too with my dynamics. So I'm really curious to get some more understanding of how it works inside of me. And when Jim said most submission is unconscious, I realized that maybe the furthest that I'll get during this is just a greater level of self-acceptance about my operating system. Already hearing other people speaking about their longing for understanding and more power balance in their relationships, I feel more self-acceptance just hearing that from other people. Not the only one.
Yay, in terms of the clarity that we've internalized, and yay for self-acceptance. I feel fairly confident that we'll all be more conscious of this throughout this class and beyond than we are before it. Thank you for pointing that out.
I'm wishing for freedom to communicate with softer emotions, and I'm hoping that this workshop will give me the courage. I would like a relationship with a partner, and I think I'm scared to do that, so I'm hoping I get courage. So if I can venture out there and just know what to recognize or to avoid that vortex, I need knowledge and I need to feel, and I'm excited about the class.
Well, I'm excited you're here too. That's our intention too, is to bring some awareness, some knowledge, and some capacity to have choice. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have had a rather interesting life trajectory and some major changes in my life. Later, I guess you could call me in some ways a late bloomer, and I'm having issues with family accepting that. So I'm really appreciated the word curious. That's where I'm at, and just wanting to understand deeper what this submission thing is, because it's often, from my background and understanding, a very positive thing. So I'm just curious in knowing more.
Yeah, I'm excited to play, and we will actually even address today that little dance of what is really submission here. What do we mean by that? Because there are certainly some aspects of that that are very healthy and some aspects that aren't. So thanks.
What I'm hoping to learn is to integrate more about how to get off that vortex of submission. They still have a lot of the enemy images of people, and I either get very submissive or get very angry and then like just discount them out of my life and make them the enemy. It would be nice to, you know, move into a more balanced area with just people in general, just the outside world in general.
Thank you. Yeah, these are applicable to a variety of relationships. This will address what you're asking, no doubt. And Jim, I turn this over to you.
Great. Thanks, Tori. I really enjoyed listening to what you all said as you checked in. Overall, it's a little bit about our pattern of how we're going to be conducting these classes. We're already seeing some pieces of it already. There'll be some opening words, a chance to check in, self-connection exercise, some kind of brief lesson we'll be going into in just a moment, a chance for you to ask questions about whatever the lesson topic is. Some kind of practice is an integral part, so that it's not just about Jim and Jory pretending to know what we're talking about, but rather a chance for you to also let us know what is important to you and the insights that you're gaining along the way. Also a chance for you to talk in more intimate groups, either pairs or triads or groups of three or four at various times. And then no matter what, we'll always get together at the end of the class to come together again as a community and check out with what we are taking away. So let's see here. I want to start with a little quote from Marshall Rosenberg, the creator of nonviolent communication. This is from the CNBC website. For me, it's a perspective builder, and it goes to an important part of what we'll be discovering together throughout this class. And here's the quote. All that has been integrated into NBC has been known for centuries about consciousness, language, communication skills, and use of power that enable us to maintain a perspective of empathy for ourselves and others, even under trying conditions. There's two important things about that quote for me, or maybe even three. One is there's nothing new here. You already pretty much know everything that we could teach you about NBC. My view is that all human beings are born with this consciousness deep inside of us, and that the only reason we lose access to it is because of the way we're conditioned, that this is actually our natural state, to be in empathy with ourselves and with others. And so I see my job as a trainer is to awaken your innate capacity and to catch you doing it and highlight what it is that you're doing so that you can have more choice about doing more of it. That's point number one. Point number two is these four things that Marshall identified as integral to the understanding and practice of NVC. One, that it's a consciousness. Two, that it's a language. Three, that it's about skills in communicating. And four, it's about how we use power and how we relate to the power of others. So a lot of NVC classes are really skill-based, including this one. We will work directly with some skills and help you sharpen skills that you can apply in your relationships, either one-on-one relationships with partner, work relationships with children, and so forth. So there will be the use of skills. We won't work too much with the language part. The language is about the least important part of NVC to me, maybe less than 1%. So we won't really be focusing very much on that language part. However, as you work on the skills and the power, the use of power, it's very natural and automatic that your consciousness will shift, that you will grow in awareness and grow in consciousness specifically about how much choice is available to us in every moment of the day. And so that's the consciousness that I want to awaken, this consciousness of empathy, this consciousness of self-connection, this consciousness of how when we do choose to open our mouth, we can do it in a way that's likely to build a sense of empathy and connection with others. The work that we'll be sharing with you, the genesis of this work that we're calling the Vortex of Submission, Jory and I learned around, 25, 30 years ago when we were studying from another teacher, and she mentioned a model that she called the Wheel of Sacrifice. And it was a very simple model, yet very transformative, and it became a very important part of how we lived our life and our relationship together as a couple. And then when we discovered NVC, we saw how much NVC enriched that Wheel of Sacrifice model, and we expanded it into a lot of skills, a lot of practices, in order to gain more clarity. Once we were teaching this class about 2-3 years ago, and we were calling it at the time the Vortex of Sacrifice, and someone had a reaction. This particular woman was a Hindu, and in her culture, in her religion, a sacrifice is a very important spiritual component. So it actually was great. She was a little angry that we were associating sacrifice with suffering in a way. And this was wonderful to have a chance to connect right there live in the class with about 15 or 20 people in the room and get clear on what was important to her and to empathize with those needs for integrity and
respect and so forth, and then we're able to share our perspective, why we were using that term, and worked it out. So, and we decided that a much more powerful word to describe this was submission. I'm still expecting at some point to be in a class and have someone really object to the word submission. To kind of short-circuit that, we'd like to help you today to get clear on this distinction, this way we're using these two words, starting with submission, and then to give you the counterpoint, which we're calling surrender. So much of NVC is built on this notion of being able to compare our experience of two different qualities of consciousness. One quality of consciousness is characterized by thinking of who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad, who deserves what, who's to blame, and so forth. The other quality of consciousness, in counterpoint to that, is who needs what right now. It's a completely different way of looking at the world than the way that we've been generally conditioned to. Who needs what right now? And so that's the consciousness that we're pointing to with this word surrender. Surrendering to what's important, surrendering to who needs what, surrendering to the present moment. Whereas so much of submission is more about who has to do what or else suffer the consequences. And if I don't submit to the will of others, then I'll pay. Or if I do submit to the will of others, then I'm going to make sure to get even later and they'll pay. Something like that. So that's what we're calling submission, is this energy that comes from a power under mentality and a power over mentality. I think it was Annie in her check-in talked about how she and all of us have internalized a way of dealing with power. That often where we feel less power than we would enjoy, that we feel a victim of circumstances, that we don't have the choice that we would like. And for us, this notion of surrender is a way to turn that energy around. So I'd like to actually move into, rather than talk a lot about it, I'd rather have you have a chance to experience this. So for this part of the practice, I'd like you to have a piece of paper handy and a pen. So the first step is to, on your piece of paper, write A, B, C, D, E, like you're going to be writing something in, fill in the blank for A, B, C, D, and E. And then after each letter, A, B, C, D, and E, write down something you have to do. So, for example, if I was going to do this, A dot, I have to pay my property tax bill. B, I have to listen to my partner when she is upset. C, I have to call my father every day. Write down something you have to do. All right, so notice how your body feels at this point, just to notice how much you have to do. And this is only five. I'll bet if I said write down everything you have to do and take 30 minutes to do it, you probably could have come up with a longer list. So just notice what it feels like in your body. You see that you have these five things to do. Pay a special attention to any physical sensations or emotions in the core of your body. Get a felt sense of what have-to energy feels like. Now I'm going to make it a little bit worse. So after each thing that you wrote, so for example, if you wrote, I have to pay my property tax bill, continue on with the phrase, or else blank. Then fill in the blank, or else. What's the consequence if you don't do the thing you have to do? I'd like to hear from a few people about what are some of these consequences for not fulfilling the have to. What I'm looking for here is you can speak in generalities. You don't necessarily have to speak in specifics if you don't want to. So, for example, if I wrote down, I have to pay my property tax bill, which I did do today. If I don't, it's something about I'll have to suffer some kind of hassle at the very least. And at the worst, I'll get sued by the state, there'll be some kind of huge drama, I'll have to go to court, maybe I'll even get arrested, that sort of thing. And the other one, I have to listen to my partner when she's upset. If I don't do that, then she'll leave me. She'll find somebody who's willing to listen to her. So what's motivating your have-to energy? What's the threat here?
I was surprised how often I put the word disappoint down. So I was disappointing three different people.
Yeah, so something about you notice how your behaviors, if you don't do certain things and other people have expectations, they're likely to feel disappointed.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you. Somebody else?
Yes, mine is similar. Disappoint was not the word I used, but hurt. Some of my have-tos are that I have to just see to the day-to-day care and all that entails for my children. If I don't do that, that could not only physically hurt them, but emotionally too. And to give support to my husband, if I don't do that, that would hurt him.
You see, if you don't do certain things that you think you have to do, that it impacts other people in a way that can actually be hurtful, even physically harmful.
Right.
Thank you. From one more person, share a little bit about what's underneath the have-to at this level.
I felt very tired and very overwhelmed and like it was just too much trouble to do the things. But then when we wrote the or else, I felt like I could breathe deeper. Like, it wasn't like a have to lift that I had to do. My first example is that I have to be patient with my daughter, and that felt like overwhelming because I was like not being patient with her today. Or else I'll say something that I don't want to say, and then she'll get angry. Well, it's not the end of the world if that happens. Another example was that I have personal care people who help me, and if I'm not specific with them about what work needs to get done, then they don't do it. Then the world doesn't end, but then I have to do it. It just didn't feel as overwhelming as the first statement, I think is the way that I would sum it up. I felt like there were choices and options after I said or else.
So you noticed that after connecting to the or else, that it actually helped you to relax a little bit and open up to more about why you were doing the things you were doing.
Yes.
Great, thanks. That's a great clue that we're going to be expanding on in just a moment, but first I want to hear from Teresa.
I just was struck by, I had the opposite reaction to Jean when we put the or else. I realized that most of them took a consequence in pushed it out forever. So if I don't, this stuff that I need to do for my business, then the business will fail, or, you know, the consequences, looking at them in black and white, are actually not true and a little ridiculous, but that is definitely the have-to energy for me.
Right. You notice that there's actually, what's the word that I'm looking for? It's like when you connected to the threat of not complying with some of this have-to, you really see potentially dire consequences. And it sounds like also you notice how, with some perspective, you see that what appears to be maybe at first a dire consequence is something that you could actually deal with, but you'd prefer not to. Something like that?
I'm saying that the consequence, when I look at it again, it's not a direct consequence. It's not actually true. It's more like my fears.
Yes, yes. It's more like your fears. Great. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, thank you. All right. Okay, so let's move on to the next step and see what we can learn. The next step is to actually just have an experience of what this is like in your body. So go through each sentence. We'll take about a minute or so to do this whole exercise. Say each one to yourself, you know, I have to pay my property tax bill, otherwise they'll throw me in jail, or whatever it is. Say the whole sentence to yourself and then tune in to what your body feels like as you say each thing. And we'll be back in about 1 minute to do the next step. You can even exaggerate a little bit, like you're doing an acting class, to really get a felt sense in the body of what this have-to energy feels like. I have to listen to my partner when she's upset, or my God, she'll find another lover and I'll be left all alone, and you get the idea. Just notice how that feels to say that to yourself. So this constellation of physical sensations and emotions that are generated by this kind of self-talk, this have-to or else self-talk, is the energy that we're calling submission. So just notice what your body feels like and anchor it to the word submission, so that when we use that word, this is the energy that we're talking about. Now let's move on to the next step. So where you had have to written before, just cross that out. Put a big X across it on each one. Get rid of all the have to. And then instead write, I choose to, in front of each one. So I choose to pay my property tax bill. I choose to listen to my partner when she is upset. And then cross out, or else blank, cross that part out, and instead write, because blank is important to me. Because blank is important to me. And then fill in the blank. So it'll say, I choose to pay my property tax bill because my freedom is important to me. My integrity is important to me. Keeping agreements is important to me. I choose to listen to my partner when she is upset because empathy is important to me. Because love and connection is important to me. So complete each sentence with, I choose to, because blank is important to me, and press 1 when you're finished with that step. Okay, finish the one that you're on, and then pick one of them, the one that seems the juiciest to you, the one that seems to have the most life for you in terms of something that's really important for you to do. Like, so if I compare the two I've been working with in my practice, the paying the property tax bill versus listening to my partner when she needs empathy, then that's the one that really I have more juice for in the moment, is listening to my partner. And it's so important to me because I really value empathy. I really value her well-being. I really value her getting the support she needs when she's in pain. So choose one to work with. And then say the sentence to yourself. I choose to listen to my partner when she's in pain because love is important to me. And as you say the word love, or whatever it is that's important to you,
then just sink into your body-based experience of the energy of that valuable thing to you, whether it's love or empathy or peace or contribution, whatever it is, just sink into it in a felt sense way. I'll be quiet so you can do that. Sometimes it's helpful to just imagine that you can breathe these values through your heart, to imagine that you can breathe love in and breathe love out, to really have an experience of savoring the underlying, the deep motivation for why you do this thing that you do. For those of you who are savoring this in this moment, if this is something that's working for you, this body-based experience is what we're calling surrender. This is surrender. When you do the things you do out of a willingness, joyful, open-hearted willingness, contribute to your own well-being as well as the well-being of others. Take that in, and then I'd love again to hear from a few people about what this is like for you. Go ahead, Kim.
Your example with your partner resonates with me also, with my husband. And, you know, this is one of those things that I can't imagine a time not ever wanting or desiring to support him, to listen to him, to give him the type of empathy that he needs and requires. And yet, during this exercise, I just am just reminded of the times in the past when I haven't known how. It's a lot clearer to me now, but even though I can't ever say I didn't, would not have wanted that, I'm just thinking of the times when I haven't been able to or haven't known how. It's making me a little bit sad. Why didn't I know this? Like you said, none of this is new stuff. I almost feel a bit silly just learning it now in my life. Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah, what I'm hearing is a couple of things. One, how precious it is for you to give in this way, and to note how that this preciousness is coming from this deep place where you would always like to be able to give it. And you're also noticing that sometimes it's either a capability issue or a capacity issue, that maybe for whatever reason your own empathy cup isn't full. So you can't give what you don't have even though you really want to. Or you can't give what you don't know how to give because you haven't learned that. And there's just some mourning in you, some sadness that you haven't always been able to be as available empathetically as you would have liked.
Right, right.
Thank you. Let's go to Jean next.
And in the doctor, three of mine were about taking care of my health. And so I sort of combined them into a statement of I choose to take care of my health because my well-being is important to me. And right as it was beginning to like sink in and ground and feel really good, there was this spark of shame that I was making taking care of myself important. And then it sort of passed, you know, like, okay, I'm letting go of that. And I'm trying to choose to do that now. And, you know, it's sort of like this piece that I've got to let go of shame in terms of kind of putting myself first, you know, and my health and saying that it is important to me. It felt good to say that. I felt like I could breathe deeper and relax, except for that one little piece that shot in there to say that I shouldn't do that.
Thank you. I'd like to make sure that everybody gets a chance to be heard about this. We've actually placed you in pairs right now. In a moment, you'll be able to speak to your partner. We're going to do this for about 5 minutes. And the idea here is that you'll have a chance to just debrief this exercise with your partner. So there'll be a speaker who just say whatever is up for you about this exercise. And the listener just simply listens, just to practice this empathy that we're talking about. 2.5 minutes and you'll switch, and the other person can speak and be heard about what this exercise was like for them, what you're taking away from it. And then we'll have another chance to do some debrief in the large group. So
suggest that you begin by just introducing yourself to your partner, decide who's going to go first, and then the speaker.
And we suggest that you listen with your ears and not with your mouth. The speaker just gets all the time, the whole 2.5 minutes as the only speaker. And okay, you are now in your groups.
All right. Thank you all for having that. Let's turn it back over to Jory for the next piece of the class.
I am curious, before we start, if there's anything unusual that anyone noticed, anything you learned from that last exercise, or if you have any questions about anything that's happened so far.
What stood out for me in the exercise is Jim guiding into a felt way of experiencing, having a body-based experience, and imagining the value, the quality of it, and breathing it in and out. And that was a real aha for me, to drop into a place of relaxation. So I start to get tension and constriction, and when I link the I choose to because well-being is important to me, and I start to breathe in well-being and the body felt sense of that, then there's just such a relaxation and open spaciousness. Then I find my resourcefulness, and there's just a flow there. So I'm appreciating the ability to have a tool to just go right into that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a gift it is to realize how much we can know when we tune inside, how that inner communication happens, that we can actually trust that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if part of it is also that sense of getting out of being stuck in a whole story with the mind being overactive and getting lost in those thoughts and being right here in the moment with the feeling.
Yeah, I appreciate what you've just said there. That rounds it out even more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to share about their experience in terms of, did anything happen that you didn't expect, or maybe it confirmed something that you already knew, or anything confusing? Go ahead.
I was just struck by the real contrast between feeling, for me it was feeling disappointment, and how just utterly different it felt when I turned it on its head and was able to think about, because caring is important to me. I wasn't expecting, I was surprised by that contrast.
Yeah, it's very different, because that disappointment is almost a disembodiment. It's almost like it's somebody else's disappointment. It's like the tail wagging the dog. And then you move into that real sense of your own deep identity of what really matters to you. What a difference, huh? Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That is a huge piece. Owning our own lives, and how much better that feels when we realize we're being guided by our deep values. Thank you. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody else's hand up right now. Okay, so a significant part of the way we structure our classes is to include practices that you can use during the week, so that you can actually be playing with this experience and really integrating it and really testing it out in your own life, so that you have a sense of what really about what we share is useful, what's meaningful. It's very much an experiential kind of approach, and also an approach to move past being extrinsically guided in what you should do or shouldn't do or how it's supposed to be and all of that. So the practices are really invitations to play with that, but not from a have-to place. That would be counterproductive to the consciousness we're really wanting to instill here. They're actually gifts, and if you find them useful. So we have practices that we offer as a gift to be used in whatever way you find useful for you. There's two kinds of practices. One is what offered as a daily practice for you just to do by yourself. And it's focused on just exploring your day, checking it out in relationship to these felt senses that you've had, and also in relationship to where you're coming from and how you want to be. And so what we will do is we will post the practices into the classroom, and you'll be able to do this as a daily practice. And there'll also be a practice for working with somebody else. So, I think that's it. We're ready to do a checkout. This will be an opportunity for everybody on the call to be able to say something and to share what's the nugget that you're taking away from this. Just like to hear, what are you taking away from this? Anything that you're feeling particularly touched by, or anything that didn't work is fine as well. So, Jean.
Well, I think what I'm taking away is hopefully the ability to integrate more the fact that I have choices in my present life, but that I had choices in my past, and I'm responsible for those choices I made. And I'm hoping to remember that I have choices more often.
Thank you.
I'm still sort of struck by the difference that I spoke of a few minutes ago. And I think for me, the daily practice might be just reminding myself of sort of sticky relationship now with family of what's important to me. And then I believe it was Jim that said that if I'm operating from that sort of perspective of what's important to me, that is surrender. That I'm not submitting, but it's surrender. And if I'm getting that incorrect, please let me know.
Yeah, it's actually surrendering, and it's actually the freedom to give or to serve. You're coming from freedom as opposed to bondage. Yeah, and we use the word submission and surrender to distinguish those. Very different experience in your body, too, I would imagine.
Very different.
Thanks.
What I'm getting is a real sense of hope in my capacity to be in life and just be so fully engaged with what I care about with a lot of relaxation and flow. And it's interesting that, you know, I come in with an intention about this primary relationship, my marriage, that the things I used in the exercise really had to do with my relationship with myself. That really stood out as well. And I think I resonate with how what's going on inside of me showing up in the outer world. I'm excited and I have hope.
Thank you.
I'm taking gratitude for what my body knows I do indeed deeply value, and also an awareness that it's sometimes really a struggle in certain relationships I don't know if it's to make that choice, but to keep that choice, to make it and keep it somehow in my awareness and front and center. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope to take away that I can integrate my self-talk or my mind with my feelings and needs, my emotions. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
First of all, I'm really excited about practicing this choose to notion. Just one quick thing that I did snuck into my thinking too was that, especially my have-tos with the interpersonal relationship, when I don't do them up to the standard that I feel like they should have been to, then there's a sneaky feeling of guilt there that I have failed. That's something that this session helped me tweak into a different light. One other quick thing that I wrote down said to listen with your ear and not with your mouth. That's something that really struck a chord with me too, because I am sometimes guilty of listening with my mouth. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you're not alone in that, honey. All right. Yeah. Jimmy, would you like to check out?
I sure would. Boy, I really had fun in the class. I enjoyed hearing your feedback very much, and I encourage you to keep the feedback coming. I love it when I hear from people what doesn't work, because then maybe I can do something about it. So that's really important to me, to hear your feedback, especially about when things aren't working. And with that, I'm complete.
I am glad for this time together. I didn't say anything in the beginning, but I was feeling really low energy, and I have felt very energized and connected and glad to have spent my time with you. So this has been a real gift to me to spend this time with you. And with that, we're complete. Goodbye.
Bye.
This recording is copyrighted by the NVC Academy and is for personal use only. To support our sustainability, redistribution of this recording is prohibited without written consent of the NVC Academy. Thank you.